So I have a very important announcement to make, which is that there's a Ford Focus that is causing some problems in the car park. So if that's you, would you like to sneak out?
I'm on mute.
No, I'm not on mute. Could you hear that about the Ford Focus?
No.
What colour is it?
I don't know. An orange Ford Focus. Thank you, I'll have that. I'm sorry, you're having to do the walk of shame in public. Thank you for waiting. Okay, am I working now?
No.
No? Okay, I do need that one then.
Are you? I use this one.
It's a bit scary. Oh, I've got too many bits of paper.
Right, is that better?
Yay! Okay. I must say that I was very daunted when I read the word healing on the preaching rota with my name next to it. Because I don't know whether you feel like this, but I feel that healing is such a big thing to speak about. And when I counted in the back of my Bible, it said the words healing, heals, healed appear over 150 times in the Bible. And that doesn't include all those other words that might have been used instead, like restored, made whole, set free. When you read about Jesus's ministry in the Gospels, it seems like he moves from one healing miracle to another. And as you go on in the Christian life, you have so many questions about healing. As I get older, I have more questions than answers, certainly about healing. Does Jesus really still heal today as he did in the Bible? Why don't we seem to see as many miraculous healings today as there were then? What has faith got to do with it? How does modern medicine fit into this? Why did I pray and healing didn't seem to happen? So as you can see, we could do a whole sermon series on healing, couldn't we? I've just given Tom all the possible topics, and you might have some more. But I'm also aware there are many people in this church, in this room today, who are much more knowledgeable, experienced, and gifted in this area. God has used many people here to bring healing, both through conventional medicine and through the power of the Spirit. So having puzzled and prayed and worried, I finally did what I probably should have done earlier. I asked Sandra, what am I going to do in the future if I can't ask Sandra? So from her years, both as an NHS nurse and as a parish nurse in this church, I said, what stood out for her about healing? What had she learnt? And we talked about many things, but two things really struck me, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. She said this: Jesus wants to heal the whole person, not part of a person, the whole person. And secondly, Jesus always surprises us. So in the light of that, Hugh is going to come and read about two of Jesus's healings. And you might like to consider, as you listen to these accounts, how is Jesus healing the whole person? And how does Jesus surprise me in this passage? Thanks, Hugh.
Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 26. If you want to follow it in the church Bibles, it's on page 1032. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony of them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. One day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Hugh. So this is early in Jesus' ministry, and he heals two men, seemingly one soon after the other. But he heals them in different ways. So first, the man with the skin disease. And it may not have been leprosy as we know it, but it was something that was very visible, disfiguring, probably infectious, maybe progressive. Such diseases caused fear and disgust in the community. And the Old Testament hygiene laws would have meant that this man had to live as an outcast from society and was considered unclean. So there was isolation and shame involved. And he bravely, very bravely, I think, comes up to Jesus. "If you are willing, you can make me clean," he says. What trust and faith that man has. And what does Jesus do that is surprising? He reaches out his hand and he touches him. He touches the untouchable. I am willing, he says. What it is to have a God who is willing to heal us. I am willing. Be clean. A command and a promise. And immediately the leprosy left him. But that is amazing, but that is not the end of the story. Jesus sees that there is more healing to be done for this man. He sends the man off to the priest to verify the healing and present the appropriate sacrifices. Why? Not because he wants the publicity for himself, but to help that man to be reinstated back into society, to be able to return to his family, his community, the worship of God. So in this one act of healing, in that one touch from Jesus, there was contact, love, acceptance, physical healing, the banishing of disease from his body, but also the wider healing for this man, healing of his family, community, and hopefully a restored relationship with God. And the paralyzed man, what do we see there? Well, the surprise in this story is that the man suddenly appears in the middle of what appears to be a teaching session or possibly a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. And can you imagine that scene coming down from the roof in the middle of the sermon? How would we react if that was happening here? I think there'd be some church wardens saying, "My roof, my roof!" But Jesus is unfazed. There is that unusual phrase in this passage, which I'm not sure I totally understand, and it's this: and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Did that mean that Jesus discerned in some way that this session was not just going to be a teaching session, but there was going to be healing as well? The man is lowered right in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, and this is surprise number two, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Not, "Oh, what is the matter with you?" or "How can I help?" "Your sins are forgiven." So it feels like Jesus is doing several things at once here. He is showing the Pharisees and the other religious leaders his authority. He is indeed the Son of Man who has authority on earth to forgive sins. But I don't think he's just using that paralyzed man as a convenient demo to get one over on the Pharisees, because Jesus never uses people. I think he always intended to heal this man and to heal him fully. And perhaps he saw immediately that forgiveness was the key to unlock this man's healing. We don't know him and his backstory, why he was as he was, but Jesus did. And when that man finally stood up, rolled up his mattress, walked out through the astonished crowds to join his jubilant friends outside, he was not only physically healed, but forgiven and freed in a new way. His whole person healed. So two stories of Jesus healing, and we could have looked at many others. What could we learn from them today? Well, firstly, it seems that Jesus wants to heal every single part of us. He knows that we are broken people. Jesus talks about the people he lived amongst as broken, lost, bruised, blind. And surely that is also true of us today. Broken, lost, bruised, and blind. Jesus sees us as whole people, not just souls and not just bodies. And he knows that we are interconnected and interdependent. So our mental state affects our body as well as our mind. Physical ailments and pain can affect our mental health. Our lifestyle can be damaging to mind and body and spirit. The bruises and hurts of the past can affect our present health. Unforgiveness and feeling unforgiven can have physical effects on us. Loneliness and being cut off from your community and perhaps not having any physical touch can damage us. I could go on. These are something society is beginning to accept now, this interconnectedness within us. But I think the Bible has always known about it. Jesus wants to heal our whole person, our whole being, bodies, minds, our spiritual life. The idea of treating the whole body is becoming more accepted, I gather, in medical circles. Is that right? But I suspect parish nursing ministries were one of the pioneers, especially in emphasizing how the physical and the spiritual go together. I took this from their website. Whole person healthcare encompasses an individual's complete well-being, their spiritual, mental, physical, and social dimensions of health, grounded in the biblical principle of shalom. We hold the belief that these facets of well-being are interconnected and frequently influence each other. The Hebrew word shalom, often used as a greeting or simply translated peace, is bigger than that. Complete well-being, physical, psychological, social, and spiritual, flowing out from our relationship with God and changing every part of us. The complete restoration that God wants to give us. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom, that sort of peace. And he wants to make us whole Shalom people. Secondly, Jesus surprises us in how he heals. If we look at the healings in the Bible, we can see common threads, but there is no formula. Jesus tells his disciples and us to go out and pray for the healing of others, but he doesn't give them a manual or a blueprint. Because he knows every battered part of us, he sometimes doesn't start our healing journey where we think he should. He wants the complete package for each of us. So the paralyzed man might well have said, I don't want forgiveness, I just need my legs to work. But Jesus knew he needed both, and that perhaps one healing would help the other to happen. And Jesus doesn't just want a quick fix for us. He doesn't want the bodywork tarted up when the engine isn't working. He wants our ongoing healing. And that flows out from healing of our broken relationship with God, won by Jesus on the cross. The Holy Spirit in us is God's power to heal and transform us. And if you are not sure whether any of this ever happens now, I want to share something that happened in this very building a few weeks ago, with permission. Our dear friend Dot Main was prayed for because she had a lot of ongoing pain in her neck and shoulder. Those praying for her prayed for physical healing, but also discerned that there were other factors at work, such as stress and concerns about the future. They prayed into that as well and encouraged Dot to give any worries she had to God. And a burden was lifted for Dot. And, oh yes, her neck and shoulder pain was also healed. So I wonder, what does God want to do for your whole body today? What does he want to do for you? We're going to come to our time of healing. Oh, I better give Roddy his thing back. So there is an opportunity now to think and to ask God what he wants to do with you.